On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, we're going to talk about culture, what it means to truly live your culture, and how do you express that to your internal staff. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding great candidates right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates, drive more traffic to your job board, and increase applications. To learn more, give us a call at 888-696-2900.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week is the founder and visionary of About Staffing in Canada. She is Charlene Massey. Charlene, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Oh, you're very welcome.
As we like to do, if you could give us a little sort of 60-second elevator pitch on About Staffing and what you guys do.
Sure, that sounds great. About Staffing, we're an employment agency, obviously a staffing agency, and we're headquartered in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Lots of people have never heard of Calgary before, but home of the Stampede. We just finished our fantastic 10 days of partying nonstop over here. And we've been placing exceptional candidates with exceptional businesses since 1996, so a long time. And we have four divisions, corporate, management, technical, and industrial. And so we do a little bit of everything. We've been in business for, you know, over 23 years now, and we've helped about 3,300 businesses across Canada. And we do temporary fills, direct hire fills, and temp to direct hiring as well.
And so how did you get started in the staffing industry?
It's been a long time, I have to tell you.
Everybody always laughs when I ask that question. They always have a little chuckle.
I know, because it's always a crazy story, right? And right. We don't all wake up one day and say, oh my gosh, I would just love to be a staffing agency owner or work in a staffing firm, that's for sure. Well, I had graduated from public relations in 1990. I know that's crazy. I went to an agency and I applied for a job, and I was really, you know, I was a recent grad. I was looking for a job in public relations, and the agency that I went to said, you know what, you'd be really great in sales. And I said, oh God, I don't think so. I don't think I can do sales. And she said, you know what, yes, we think you'd be really great at it, and we think you'd be really great at it internally for us. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I guess it's a good way to meet HR people and find a real, you know, public relations job down the road. And I thought, I'll give it a shot. And here I am now. I mean, my goodness, that, you know, it's been, what, 1990. So it's been a long time I've been doing this. I never really got out of it. Got in my blood.
You know, one of these days I'm going to interview somebody and they're going to say, I did wake up one day and say, I want to start a staffing firm.
Or, you know, somebody like me is going to say, well, I've been doing this for 35 years, so I'm going to go find a public relations job now.
Perfect. Yeah, they have yet to offer staffing as a major in college. So when that happens, we'll get those kinds of people.
Exactly. You got that right. It really should be something that people should concentrate on, but we all fall into it and then we love it. So,
well, I like having the founders of companies on, especially a company like yours that's been around for a while, because I'm curious as how you have developed your kind of your initial brand strategy, and how's that evolved over time?
Yeah, especially, you know, here in Alberta, we have had so many, you know, it's boom or bust here. And we've had floods and we've had fires and we've had all kinds of things. And trying to maintain a brand during, you know, the good times, you know, it's pretty easy to do, although the competitors really kind of climb up behind you. But, you know, during the tough times, it's a really tough thing to try to maintain it and then build it. But for us, you know, we really got in really well with the media, which was great. And we really did try to stay on top of technology as far as even, you know, just a website and, you know, not big things, but lots of small things that we were part of the community. We participate in things where we can put our name up there. And we do consistent marketing, which, I mean, you know, thank you, Haley. There's, you know, thank God there's people like you out there. You know, we really did try to stay fresh and stay in people's minds, even when things were really, really tough. We didn't stop our marketing spend when things were really, really tight. And maybe we did just sort of revamp a little bit and how we did things a little bit, but we really did believe in investing in that marketing brand when things were bad, just as much as when things were really great.
I really need to put the Hallelujah chorus onto my mixing board here and play that when you say things like that, because that is what we've been preaching for many years here at Haley, is when things aren't going great, that's not the time that you cut back on your sales and your marketing efforts. You know, that's the time that you really need to ramp it up. And we've seen that over the course. I've been here through, geez, three recessions now, and we've seen that getting better and better in the industry, that the industry seems to be learning, okay, now's not the time to scale back. Now's the time to ramp it up so that, you know, we can make it through this, because, you know, back in whatever it was, 99, 2000, you know, that was one of the first ones, and, you know, half of our clients just, you know, closed up shop. So we haven't seen that happen as much in the past one. So I love when I hear clients in the staffing industry say that they don't cut back when things are bad.
Yeah, and especially, you know, you need to really understand, you know, what the name of your company is, and then understand what that brand feel is with your company. And, you know, even with like our colors, so many times over the years, people have said, you know, maybe you should change your colors, or maybe you should change some of the wording or whatever. And I said, no, we have a brand that people recognize here. Right. And they trust it and they believe in it and they know we're going to be here through good times and bad. And I am not going to change the name of the company. I'm not going to change the colors or the trademark, what it stands for. And even though we might change things on the inside with all the things that are going on through, you know, big bursts of business and then the downturns, you know, we make lots of changes. But, I mean, absolutely, we don't change the brand or the branding, and we certainly don't change the investment in that. That's number one for us.
I like that you describe yourself as the visionary, your official title, founder and visionary. What do you see as your most important role as a visionary or as a leader of a staffing firm?
Well, you know, it certainly has evolved over the years as well, and especially since our staffing, you know, complement on the inside has changed drastically. We've had, you know, in Alberta, you know, our unemployment rate has gone from, you know, 2%, which is crazy, to 8%, which is crazy, and almost overnight. And so really my job here is to make sure that the culture remains positive and healthy. I had a client once tell me that no matter what is happening for me personally, I have to do whatever it is I have to do to be positive and energetic every single day that I show up for work. And I never forgot it. And that has to be maybe 20 years ago that she told me that, probably through one of the very first recessions. And I never forgot it, because these people that are here working for me, it is really important for them to believe in their leader, and it's my job to make sure they have the information that they need, make sure they have the tools that they need, make sure that they're looking into their future and their careers, and also to maintain that culture that we've built over the years and make sure they feel supported here. And even though sometimes I might be really tired, you know, that's not their problem. And so I have to remain positive and help guide them. And so I really see my job as trying to maintain the culture, no matter what I'm feeling or what's happening here.
You know, it sounds good on paper to say you need to come in every day positive and energetic, but in reality, we kind of know that can't happen every day. So how do you kind of keep that energy up? What do you do, you know, on those days when you're having a really bad day or you didn't sleep well the night before? How do you maintain that positivity?
Well, we've had a big recession here in the last few years, and yeah. So I was pretty tired a lot of the time. But you know what I actually did? I started, this is so crazy at my age, but I started spinning, like doing spin classes. Yeah. I know it's so crazy. I am the oldest person in my spin class, just saying. But I can keep up with those guys now, 20-year-olds in the front row. but you know, I've changed my schedule around so that, and I just did this in the last year so that I will do a spin. I used to do spin or workout or whatever at night. And after working a full day, I've changed it, to, I work out in the mornings, but not really early. I might do it at an 8:30 class or a 9:30 a.m. class, which is ridiculous in this industry. Mm-hmm. But then I come in fresh. Always fresh. Yeah. And if I have a meeting or something that's, you know, really important that I can't miss in the morning, then, you know, I will move things around. But I have changed my own philosophy to be looking out for myself first, my health and my well-being. My brain needs to be on fire when I'm at work. So I have changed my own thinking to be, you know, self and then family. I have a large family and then work is actually third on that list, which makes me very productive and happy and healthy for everybody here.
That's a great philosophy. I want to take a real quick break here, but when we get back, I want to ask Charlene how the new generation of worker is changing their recruiting practices. It's all coming up on Secrets of Staffing Success.
Hi, this is David Stearns, CEO at Haley Marketing. It's summer, and that's our favorite time of the year. So to celebrate, we're having hot deals on several of our most popular services, including websites, blogging, video marketing, recruiting, digital dominance, and our award-winning content marketing service, Haley Mail. Want to know more about our hot summer deals? Check out HaleyMarketing.com/summer.
All right, we're back talking with Charlene Massey from About Staffing. We mentioned before the break there about this new generation of worker. Obviously, technology has become a huge part of recruiting now. So, you know, if you can give us a little bit more insight into how this new generation of employee has changed your recruiting practices at About Staffing.
Yes, so interesting. You know, I actually just evaluated 26 reports that were, they were applications for a culture award for our Chamber of Commerce here. And what really occurred to me in that, those reports, they were very competitive reports from various businesses, all different businesses. And what really jumped out to me there was, you know, we used to say how we're a flexible company and we offer flexible work for, you know, working arrangements for our temps and that sort of thing. But what really jumped out at me is that every single one of those reports indicated that flexibility was what makes or helps make their culture, you know, the best. And I realized that flexibility then is no longer a perk or a benefit. It is the way that it's just the way that it is now. Yeah. So I think that we learned it a long time ago. We were able to adapt to a flexible working schedule here internally for our people and also for our temps. Because of technology, obviously, I mean, you can use your mobile device to pretty much do anything now. But because it became such an important perk, if you want to call it that, years ago, it is now just the way that it is. And so working with the different generations, we have to be mobile. We have to be accessible all the time. And we've really learned it internally here. I have a recruiter who is 67, who plans to work here till she is 70, and she's been with me for many, many years. And I also have a recruiter here who's 23. And so we have the full gamut of everything in between. Yeah. We have maternity leave like crazy. I know you guys don't have the same policies in the United States, but our policies here are now up to 18 months for maternity leave here.
Wow.
Yeah. And so working with the different generations and trying to work with people who have that different learning style, different personality types. And we've really tried to engage, a lot of crossover. So for example, our 67-year-old works very, very tightly with our 23-year-old. Mm. So they all work in cohesion together to have conversations and figure out the new ways of doing business today, along with the old ways of doing business, if you want to call it old. And, you know, in my physical space, we just moved last August, but we put in some physical spaces that will allow for the new generation as well as the older generation, and including things like a huge open kitchen with a spot for everybody to sit around the table and chat. Mm. And we force the young people to do it. And the older people are happy to sit and have a lunch break because we get so busy, you know. Yeah. We have the recruiter ears, and so it's been a really interesting concept. I also put in a conversation bar, and that sounds ridiculous, but it has brought the generations together even within my own space. Mm. And it's the most brilliant thing that I did in this new space is put this stand-up bar where people come and stand together and solve problems and chat and talk about whatever, whether it's their weekend or whatever, because they need a social outlet, especially if they're a newer generation. They're not used to having that social outlet, but we've created internally as well so that they can have a space to come, that they can have a conversation and maybe solve a problem together.
That's great. You know, I know we've been talking on some of our past episodes recently about internal staff turnover. I know, here in the States right now, and I'm sure you guys are seeing it too up in Canada, but, finding really good talent is difficult right now. So just the core part of a recruiter's job has become very difficult. And, you start to see in situations like that, you start to see internal staff turnover. So these little things that you do, I think, goes a long way. What else are you guys doing in terms of a culture, maybe not just in terms of the physical space, but in terms of the way you present your culture to, attract and retain top internal talent?
Yeah, so we've created a few things. First of all, we have a Friday staff meeting. I know it sounds crazy to have a staff meeting these days, but we do. We have every single Friday from 12 to 1. And that meeting from 12 to 1, everyone just brings their lunch and they come in. I don't provide any, like I don't pay for it. Mm-hmm. It's just a thing. They come in, they sit down in the boardroom, and everyone follows an agenda. And on that agenda, we started to put in things like tools. What are what tools are we working with? What tools do we like? What tools do we want? We talk about trends. And that tells us what's coming in the future. What are you seeing out there with customers and candidates and internal people? We talk about talent. So not just the external talent that we interview, but also internal talent. So, we have maternity leaves like crazy around here. So, what recruiters are looking for a change, or who can we target? And we all get in on that kind of conversation. And then we also take a small amount of time, usually about 10 minutes, to do some sort of a learning, so a TED Talk. Because the younger generations, as we spoke about before, it's really important for them to, they love the TED Talks. They always want to learn and grow. And it's important for the mature generation also to see what the younger generations like. And so those kinds of things that we've done there really bring everybody together, which has created some really amazing friendships with the teams. And long-term staff, I've got somebody that's been with me for 18 and a half years, 12s and 13s and 15s. I've got some really long-termers. And then I've got a bunch of short-termers, like newbies. Mm. And so we really had to work on bringing everybody together on the same, the same playing field, so that they would stay here when they're getting headhunted out by other recruiting companies to pull them out, but they don't go. they come to me and they say, oh, hey, so-and-so just called me for, you know, a job opportunity down the street. What do you want me to tell them?
Hmm.
Which is hilarious. So, I mean, I come up with all kinds of fun things to tell the competitors. But, you know, we have that kind of culture that it's fun and they would rather run down the hall and tell me that than maybe go and entertain a new job offer somewhere else for, you know, a couple of bucks more or something like that, right?
Right.
And we have some interesting benefits too. We have a lifestyle benefit, you know, with small things. It doesn't cost me a fortune to do, but the fact that I care about them as a person, with a lifestyle benefit, you know, through, give them a couple of hundred bucks a year or whatever that is going to be for them to use to be healthy and feel good and supported. So those are just some of the things that I've done, but I'm very conscious of it because they do get headhunted all the time.
Sure. And I'm curious, when you first kind of tried to bring the generations together, was there pushback? You know, did the younger, you know, generation say, oh, we can't learn anything from the older generation and kind of vice versa?
It was definitely a little bit more about the mature generation saying, you know, the youngers can't teach me anything. Mm. I know this. I know this. So it was a little bit, but by, you know, doing the things like the staff meetings, we find that every Friday, somebody is learning something there, no matter of age. You know, it has nothing to do with even how much experience you have in the business. We're learning something about business in general, or we're learning something about recruiting or whatever. And we found that just over time, it has developed. But it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't super easy to just bring in, you know, the younger people with new ideas and accept those ideas, you know, right at the forefront. They kind of had to prove themselves to the older people that I have working here.
Hmm.
But it did work. They're all friends now. Everybody likes everybody.
Excellent.
They may not like me much. I'm not sure.
See, that's what they're not telling you, huh?
That's okay. I can be the bad guy.
That will be this week's Friday meeting. What does everyone think about me?
Oh my gosh, that would be too funny. They would all lie and say I'm fabulous.
Well, if you've got people that have been there for 18 and a half years, you must be doing something right. So,
yes, I am. Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to touch on was when you're evaluating, your temporary candidates is we don't think too much about personality. I think we get stuck as an industry in the facts. Well, they've been working here for this many years and they can type this many words per minute and they know they have this certification. So, you know, when I help clients put together a top candidate list, to market to their clients, it's a lot of just the tangibles, but we don't talk enough about the intangibles. So for you, how important is personality and how do you then show that to your clients and potential clients?
Yeah, so it's been really a kind of a fun thing to do, but we started now with the clients first. And so we meet every customer before we do a placement there. And when we do that, we do, you know, talk to them about their own personality types. Do they see themselves as, you know, drivers, decision makers? Do they see themselves as support workers or whatever? And we just go through a number of questions with those people first to try to figure out what their personality types are and where they might fall on that spectrum, no matter what personality profiling system you might use or not use. There's some real good generalities in there. And so we've been really working with the customers first to see what kind of personalities they are, what kind of personality they think they might want in the jobs that they're filling for, even if it is a temporary assignment for a light industrial guy, you know, for a warehouse for, you know, 6 hours. We still want to know kind of what the personalities are of the people around there. And then internally, we generally talk about it all the time and we talk to our candidates about it. And our job now is to figure out what sort of personality type they might be. And then we try and slot them into the right job so that we get a lot of buyouts, so a lot of temp to direct hires. We get a ton of that. I would say that's our biggest area of growth is the temp to direct buyouts. And it's because we've been really matching with the personalities more than the skill sets, which you can also just test for. So we've been really working on that and deciding what personality type people are and then trying to work with them, with the customer, to make sure it's the right one. Skills can be taught, and we can always work with, you know, keywords and resumes and testing and all that stuff. But the coming down to personality types, boy, if you get that right, you know, you got good deals happening.
Yeah, absolutely. She is Charlene Massey, the founder and visionary, I love that, of About Staffing. You can find out more at aboutstaffing.com. Charlene, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your secrets of staffing success with our audience today.
Well, thank you so much. This was great fun, Todd. I really appreciate it.
My big thanks to Charlene Massey from About Staffing there. Okay, I know this is going to sound really self-serving considering that you're listening to a podcast that is done by a marketing company, but I want to go back to what she said about, you know, not cutting back on your marketing during a downturn. I've seen this now. This will be, what, my third or fourth recession, whenever this does happen, and it is going to happen coming soon. And each time that we've gone through it, I've seen fewer and fewer staffing firms really struggle because they've learned that they can't cut back on their sales and marketing efforts during a downturn. That's the time to really ramp it up, and especially now, to prepare ahead of time for a downturn, to make sure that you are bringing in clients. Now, I know we've been focusing a lot on this podcast, and obviously the industry as a whole has been focusing on trying to find great candidates, but you need to remember to build up your client database right now so that if this downturn does come, and I should say when it does come, that you have that bench of great clients that are going to stick with you because you're still providing them with great service. You're still keeping yourself top of mind. So start thinking now about what you can do to start appealing to more clients, to start bringing in more clients. Make those investments in your sales and in your marketing now so that you're ahead of the game when all your competitors are struggling during a downturn. That'll do it for this week's episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. Don't forget, you can find us on all the usual places: iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your Apple devices, and of course at HaleyMarketing.com. And if you like the episodes, please give us a review on whichever platform that you're listening on. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your suggestions for any future topics or future guests on Secrets of Staffing Success. That'll do it for us. We will talk to you next time.